We're glad that each and every one is here this morning, and I don't see any strange faces. Most of the faces I see this morning are just part of us. Some are maybe a little more familiar than others. We're glad everybody's here. And what you notice that our Sunday school numbers were up this morning. And what I'd like to do before we get into our lesson this morning, for those of you that are not accustomed to coming to Sunday school, especially if you got children or teenagers, I want to encourage you to bring those kids and come to church and be a part of that number. The things that they learn right now are going to make an impression on them for the rest of their life. And I'm sure they don't get a big bunch out of pulpit preaching. You may not either, you adults. But the kids probably don't get a lot out of pulpit preaching. But they do out of Sunday school. And we hope that you'll think about it. Commit yourselves and bring those kids to Sunday school. And it probably won't hurt the adults either. Probably won't hurt you a bit. And I hope that you'll consider that and make that commitment. I appreciate the Bible reading this morning. It was rather long. And I told Greg when I turned it in, I said, whoever reads this may not want to read it all, but usually there's some kind of a break in the thought. If you've got one that's 8 or 9 verses long like this one, that you can cut half of it in two, maybe read 4 verses or 5 verses, but this one is not one of those that you can very well do that, and that may be the reason why Brett opted to go ahead and read the whole thing. And so I'm not going to read it again this morning, except I'm going to take excerpts from it to make our case this morning. And you'll notice that Ryan did put the entire outline, because we don't have the screen this morning. He did put the outline in the bulletin. But down there about, what is that, number 8, that ain't Hummer, it's Humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. A Hummer's one of them four-wheel drive things that, no, I like to rag him a little bit. He doesn't make very many mistakes, but every once in a while I watch him and I get him whenever I can, so that doesn't happen real often. But anyway, we'll get to that one when the time comes. Now, you'll notice that what he read this morning, somebody asked the question about sitting at a meal with Christ in the kingdom. The scripture doesn't specifically say so, and maybe there's a different way that you can take that. But it's almost as if the person that asked the question just took it for granted that he's going to be there. Now, maybe other people wasn't going to be there if you look at the context of the question. And then Jesus tells us this story. And what's interesting about this story is it makes me think that according to what Jesus was saying, that a lot of people assume that they're going to heaven. And when you talk to people today, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious beliefs, regardless of many other things in society today, they just assume that they're going to heaven. And I sort of think that that's what this man here might have been thinking. Now, it's funny how people think in those kinds of terms. I may assume that I'm going to heaven, but I don't necessarily assume that you are. Now, what kind of thinking is that? And that's the way that we offer. That's the way people sometimes think. I assume I'm going, but I don't know about you. And I will capitalize on that a little bit this morning. I put these points in the bulletin. If you got the bulletin and you want to follow along, pass that on the. See, I have to really get bound to that thing when it comes for quick. But anyway, I want us to look at a few of these points right here about people that just assume that they're going to be saved. they just assume that they're going to be that. And I notice this about people in general as well. People assume today that almost everybody's going to heaven. Very, very few people are going to be lost. Just a handful. About the only kind of people that's going to be lost are real bad eggs. The ones that history, you can look back into history books and tell that they done some real bad things. Now, there ain't no way they're going to be saved. But just the regular Joe out here, he wasn't particularly religious, didn't he particularly stand for anything, but he didn't do anything to anybody, so he'll probably be there. Now, you look for him, he'll be there. So it's just the criminals and the people like that's going to be. And yet Jesus is saying in here, now I want you to notice some of the words that really Jesus uses when he says this. He uses words like few. Few don't match what people's idea about people going to heaven is about. Why does Jesus use words like that? Why don't he use words like most, just like people assume? And so I sort of brainstormed this, try to figure out why, and this just some of these are my idea, why that people just assume that they're going to heaven, but they may not be, according to Scripture, like Jesus says. And why are so many people going to be lost? If Jesus says that there's a few that's going to be saved, and in other places, and we didn't even write all those down this morning, he talks about the gate being narrow, the road being narrow, straight, he calls it. And then the way to hell, the way to destruction, is being a broad way, downhill, easy. And that's the way that Jesus teaches us, but people don't think like Jesus does. And so the first thing that really comes to my mind is ancestor religion. Now you'll notice that Jesus, he refers to this. See verse 28 that was read there? He says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God." And boy, did they put a lot of stock in their ancestors. What Jew wouldn't go back? And Jesus rebuked them for this, but they do it anyway. And Jews would go back and they'd say, "We have Abraham for our father. Look at us, we got Abraham." Here's what Jesus said about doing that. He said, "Don't put too much stock in going back and saying we got Abraham for our father." Now that's still viable today, and I do reason that I think it's still viable today is because Muslims can do that. Now the Muslims didn't take the same track that Israelites did. They're two different peoples, but both sides can go back and say we got Abraham for our father. And we as Christians can do the same thing. We can't prove any DNA match. But spiritually, according to Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, we can. He says that the children of Abraham, or he that is a Jew, that's really a Jew, is one spiritually. So God doesn't put a lot of stock, or Jesus does not put a lot of stock in DNA. And back then, under the law of Moses, they did, because they were the chosen people of God. At that time, they put a lot of stock in that. And Jesus said, "I wouldn't go that route. That's not the route to go." But people today, while they don't point to Abraham, they still put a lot of stock in their ancestors. I put it. Let me tell you something about me that'll help you understand this thing. Now here it is, 2014, and I'm worshiping here at Mount Zion with you. And there's been six generations of Edens that's worshiped here. Now some of you are going to say, "Well, so what?" And so what's right? But if that's not enough to impress, if you're not impressed that six generations of Edens that worshiped here, then I'll get on my mother's side of the family. Six generations of Millers have now are impressed. Both sides of my family have worshiped here at Mount
back to 1800 somewhere, are you impressed? And the question it's going to be is, how much is that going to help me? Now, we're talking about judgment day. The time of this lesson is turned away on judgment day. Am I like this man in thinking that that's going to be a big plus for me on judgment day? Can I, when I get up there and stand before God in judgment and say, God, by the way, I don't know if anybody told you or did, or not, for six generations of Eve just went to church at Mount Zion. Ancestor religion. Is that going to be any use to me? Now, you know the obvious answer. It's a rhetorical question. You know that's not going to be of any. You know that's not going to be any help to me. It's by an individual basis. And I would want God saying to me what Jesus said to those Jews. Don't put a lot of stock in that. They need, don't you put a lot of stock in six generations coming up seven. I went to church at Mount Zion. We don't count it that way. But people do. And you watch what people do today. Steve Crossman, we talked about this week or two ago. There used to be an old song, Give Me That Old Time Religion. And in that body of that song, I like the song, to tell you the truth. And the song, if it's handled the right way, it's okay. But if it's not handled the right way, it can be boogie. Yeah, it was good enough for daddy and mom, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for grandma and grandpa, it's good enough for me. No, it's not. Ancestor religion will not save you, and there are going to be people that are turned away on judgment day because they rely on ancestor religion, just like the Jews did. So we need to be careful. Turned away on judgment day.
Some people are going to be lost because they depended on ancestor religion. Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 through 38. There's the whole story about that. Second point. There's people going to be turned away on judgment day because they were a member of some religion that is very popular. And I've noticed this about religions. And I've noticed it right here in the state of Kentucky. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to go to some other country. Religions kind of come and go. Have you noticed that? Religions kind of come and go. They say that, and I've just read this, I don't know a whole lot about it, but they say in the early 1900s that over in eastern Kentucky and eastern Tennessee and over in the Appalachian Mountains that there was one religion that was widely known for handling snakes during the worship service, poisonous snakes. And it's still being done today, and every once in a while, as a matter of fact, I think it's only been about a year or so ago that I believe it was a copperhead snake bit a man, and he died from it. They tried to get him to go to the doctor, and he said, no, I'm not going to the doctor. If God wants me to live, I'll live, and if he wants me to die, I'll die. And he died. Well, by his own admission, I guess God must have wanted him to die. And so they're still doing that. It's not died out, but it's not near as popular as it once was. And no doubt there's people that are members of that kind of a church and say, well, that's good enough for mom and daddy. And so they go back to the ancestor religion. But also it was popular 100 years ago. It's not near as popular as it once was. But there's a lot of religions that come and go. I'm talking about religions. Some of them are named after men or have men's creeds. They kind of come and go. But religion's not designed to come and go. The religion of the Bible is 2,000 years old, and it's here to stay. You don't have to worry about it going. Jesus said it'll always be here. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. It's here to stay. It endures. And so popular religions, according to John chapter 12, verses 42-43, he said that many of the chief rulers believed but would not confess Jesus for fear of being put out of the synagogue. See, it wasn't popular. The synagogue was popular, and the Jews, that's where they went, and they didn't want to be put out, and they didn't want to be unpopular, they didn't want to be politically incorrect, and today we've got religions that are more or less that way. So popularity, there's going to be people turned away on Judgment Day because they preferred popularity to really the truth of God. And then here's one right here. And people don't like to hear this one, but it's part of the Bible. It's there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, there's people that like to hear what suits them. He called it people that had itching ears. People that had itching ears. They didn't want to be reproved or rebuked or exhorted. And they didn't want to endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the scripture. That's just like God, through the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave it to them directly. But there's people that's going to be turned away from the truth, and they're going to turn to fables. That's what he said in those few verses. Now, I know that people don't like to hear it. They got itching ears. It's what's popular. Again, we go back to ancestor religion and what's popular. But we got today some religions that are popular with people, and it's because they got itching ears. Their ears itch to hear those things that are popular with men, those things that are politically correct. Itching ear, I call it itching ear religion. But there's people that are going to be turned away on Judgment Day because their ears itched to hear what man had to say rather than what God did. Point number four. There's people that are going to be turned away on Judgment Day because they accepted error. Now somebody says, well, how do you know that? Well, I know because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 said, they received not the love of the truth, they believed a lie, and they would be damned or condemned who believed not the truth and have no pleasure in righteousness. There it is. That's simple as it can be. And there's not any way you can turn it or tie it or warp it to make it mean anything else. It's just what it is. People accept error. There are people that are still accepting error today. One of the things that happened this week, this is current events. I think we touched on it a little bit Wednesday night. Accepting error. You know, for all these centuries, the Catholic Church, and I admire the Catholic Church for having done this, the Catholic Church have stood up for the basic, I'm talking about the basic things concerning some of the so-called moral issues of this day. But the Catholic Church disappointed me this past week. They had a big meeting in which one of the subordinates to the Pope, I don't know how high he was up in Catholicism, but they had a big conference of them, and they have decided they're going to lighten up on homosexuality, on gay marriage, they're going to lighten up on that. They've just been through the street. You know, the Bible has not changed a bit. There's not a word in the Bible that's been changed since last week or the week before. If it ain't been changed for 2,000 years, then it wasn't changed last week. And I don't know what the Pope's going to do about this. I'm still waiting to hear from the Pope on that. Hopefully we will. But I hope that the Pope goes back and says, we ain't going to change that. It may not be popular with a lot of people, but this is the Catholic doctrine and we're not going to change it. And that's the reason that I say people accept error. And people that accept those things because it's popular today are accepting error, and there's going to be people that's turned away on Judgment Day because they accepted it. Point number five. There's people that like to set their own, I want to be saved, and I want to love God, and I want to worship God, but I want to do it on my own terms. Some of God's terms just don't suit me. Some of God's terms are just a little too strict to suit me. Some of them are just don't fit my way of thinking. I want to do it, but I want to do it on my terms. Let me give you an example about a man. Name was Naaman. And it was told Naaman had leprosy. And it was told Naaman that if he would leave Syria, go down to Israel, and meet up with a prophet down there by the name of Elisha, that this man Elisha, he stood in pretty good with God. and he could recover him, or he could get him over this leprosy. Well, that sounded pretty good. And so Naaman went down there, and he was told that all he had to do was go down to the Jordan River and dip in the water 7 times, and when he come out of the water the 7th time, his leprosy would be gone. And Naaman thought that that was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever heard of in his life. To travel all the way from Syria down to Israel, and that was slow travel and rough travel in those days, to do that. And he said, dip in the Jordan River? Well, who ever heard the beat? We got better rivers than the Jordan up here where I live. And dip 7 times? Why wouldn't 1 time cure it if the Jordan River will cure it? But see, it wasn't the Jordan River that's doing the curing. But he didn't understand it. He wanted it done on his own terms. And here's what Naaman said about it. He said, I thought, and that's what people do today, they think. He said, I thought that he, speaking of Elijah, would pass his hand over the leprosy, and that's how I'd be cured. Who ever heard of having to dip in water? Well, water won't cure leprosy. And he got mad and started to go back home, and if it hadn't been for his servants, he'd have done it and not been cured. But finally one of his servants said, Naaman, he said, you've gone to all this trouble. You've made this big long trip. And he said, if they'd asked you to do something that was hard to do, complicated to do, he said, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? And he said, well, yeah. He said, well, how come you don't do it if it's something as easy as this? I'm going to ask you the same question this morning. I know people today that they scoff at baptism. They say, yeah, what is it with you people in the Church of Christ? What is it with you people that you think that baptism saved? Baptism couldn't. What magic is there in the water? Just like Naaman said about the Jordan River. That won't cure you. And they fail to get the point. They miss the point altogether. They won't accept their salvation on their own terms. And there's a lot of people that are going to be turned away on Judgment Day because they won't accept their own terms in religion. Point number 6, quickly. Some people are going to be turned away on Judgment Day because they think one way is as good as another. It don't make any difference what you believe, what you practice, where you go, what you do. It don't make any difference about that. One's as good as another, as long as you believe in God. Every time I think of this, I think of that movie, Steel Magnolias. Anybody ever seen the Steel Magnolias? And I remember this one scene in there, and it just keeps coming back to me. And Dolly Parton's got this beauty shop, and she's got a girl working in there, and this movie's played with Daryl Hannah. And Dolly Parton goes to one church, and Daryl Hannah goes to another church. And they fix to go to church, and Dolly Parton said, come go with me. Well, it's a good thing to do. I don't have any problem with that. Come go with me to church today. And the girl was over, and all she was going, and Dolly Parton said, it don't make no difference. God, where do you go to church? Well, it may not be in any local congregation that is doing the will of God according to the Bible. But if they're not going according to the Bible, it does make a difference with God. There's going to be people that are turned away on Judgment Day because people ain't going to make any difference. A couple of years ago, I heard that. Very seldom do I ever hear or see Oprah Winfrey. I ain't got a lot of use for Oprah Winfrey, but I heard her say this live. She said, it don't make any difference if you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, or a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew. It don't make any difference. Everybody's going to heaven. Or you can go to heaven if you're not one of them real bad guys. And I said, sitting there on watching the TV, I said, Oprah Winfrey, you wrong about that. You're wrong about that. It does make a difference for God. You better go back and read your Bible. Yeah, she heard me. I said it anyway. She's wrong about that. And the world is wrong with it, and there's going to be a lot of people that's turned away on Judgment Day because they think everything goes.
It don't make any difference what you believe or what you practice or anything else. It'll be all right, God. God don't really care.
And there's people that's going to lose their souls because of that kind of belief and that kind of practice. Point number 7. There's people that are going to be turned away on Judgment Day because they are sermon hardened. They have heard so many sermons, and they do know the Bible. They know what God would require, but they've heard it so many times, it's just like it goes in one ear and goes out the other. Heard it so many times, they don't even feel it anymore. It's not even there. I know people, and have known people in the past that have had so much exposure to the preaching of the gospel that it don't even touch them. It don't even faze them. They're not offended by it because they'd heard it so many times it don't make any difference anyway. But there's going to be a lot of people that are turned away on Judgment Day because they wouldn't obey the gospel because they've heard it so many times it just didn't make any impression on them. Paul addresses this. He said it's like they've been burnt with a hot iron. They've been seared. You know, there's no feeling there anymore. They'll be turned away on Judgment Day. And then the Hummer, it's the Hummer, number 8. People that won't humble their heart to God. There's going to be a lot of people turned away on Judgment Day because they never did humble their heart to God. And Jesus said, if you don't confess me, then I won't confess you. Now, that's not just something that Jesus said. That's a promise. If we can't humble ourselves here on this earth to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, make that good confession, why do we think that when we stand at the judgment bar of Christ, of God in that last day, that He would confess us to His Father? A lot of people are going to be turned away because they do not. And that does include Jews, and that does include Muslims, and it does include a lot of Christians that are guilty of these other things that we talked about this morning that have not humbled their heart to Him. Last one, point number 9. Turned away on Judgment Day. We talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. People just wait too long. People that, well, they're going to. The day's come. Well, I'm going to do that one. I know that I need to be obedient to the Lord. I know that I need to do the first principles of the plan of salvation and become a man. I know that. I'm just not ready yet. And I, as a preacher, I've heard every excuse there is in the book and some ain't in the book. I've heard people say, just as soon as I get married, I'm going to become a member of the Lord's church. And just as soon as I get my family started, that's when we're going to do that, me and my wife. Just as soon as the kids gets out of school, gets out on their own, that's when we're going to do it. Just as soon as I retire, that's when I'll have all the time in the world then, and that's when I'm going to do it. And there's excuses that goes on and on and on, but there are going to be people on Judgment Day that get turned away because they just put it off too long and they never did do it. We talked about people this morning being on their deathbed. People do not wait that long. You never know when it's going to be. When is your deathbed? Not a soul in this audience this morning can tell me when they'll be on their deathbed. And if you watch the obituary columns at all in the daily news, it ain't all old people that dies. A lot of young people die. Tragic things happen to younger people. Don't wait. Don't put it off too long. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, today is the day of salvation. Not in 2020 or 2045 or somewhere else down the road. First place, the earth may not be here that long. I really don't know why God hadn't done something bad already. If I had been God, I'd be that full of it, and I'd say, I've had it. Just like he did with the Israelites. He did that with the Israelites. He finally just cut it off. He said, I've had all of it, I can stand. And I believe the day is coming when God's going to do that here. I really believe that the day is coming when God said, that's enough. And if you look around and see what's going on in the world today, when was the world more wicked than it is today, 2014? I've just never seen anything like it. The older I get, the worse that I perceive it to be. And it's not just local, it's all over the world. One of these days, God's going to get tired of it, and he's going to say, that's it. Gabriel, blow the horn. And there's going to be people that stand in front of him on judgment day that just put it off too long, just wasn't quite ready yet. Does any of these excuses this morning fit you? Is there someone that you know that is not ready for the judgment day yet? I hope that if there is just one person in this audience this morning that this lesson has been useful to, I hope that you won't wait and put it off till next week or next summer or vacation Bible school or the next gospel meeting. Don't do that. Don't put it off. Judgment day might come first, and then you won't be ready. Is there something that we can do in order to help you this morning? If so, please come while we stand, Brad, and while we sing.
Oh, thanks already.